This is Scott Fratcher from Radio for Peace International, and today we have in the studio with us Bill White. Bill has a story he would like to tell about an experience he has had with the University for Peace. This is the same UN-supported organization that is attempting to silence the voice of Radio for Peace International. Bill has 17 acres near the university campus in Ciudad Colón that he has built an artist colony on. Bill, reaching his golden years, decided to make a donation from his heart of the property and colony to the University for Peace. This was in early 2003. Bill went to the university and met with Martin Lees, the rector, Van Haren, the vice-rector, and a man, Mr. Pinto, representing himself to be the university lawyer. It turns out that the rector, Martin Lees, and the vice-rector, Van Haren, and Mr. Pinto were apparently using the university to run a scam, a deception, of accepting the land and the artist colony in the university's name. But in reality, they were taking the property for their own personal use. Bill White was in the process of the donation when he realized the deception and was just able to stop the transaction. If Bill White's account is true, as it appears to be, then this is a violation not just of the man attempting to make this sizable donation, valued at over $2.5 million, but also to the university that will now not receive the donation. Bill is going to read an account of this transaction, and then Bill will give Radio for Peace International an exclusive interview answering specific questions of this affair. I would like to apologize as the audio of the reading of Bill's account has a bit of tape hiss, but then the audio clears up for the rest of the interview. Bill White, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. Good to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to get this out. I have prepared a few pages, and I'd like to read it. It'd be easier for me to read it.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay. In 1998, I established the Julia and David White Artist Colony as a memorial to my only two children who had died tragically as young adults, and also as an expression of appreciation to Costa Rica for being able to live in this peace-loving country. I came here in 1991 at the beginning of the first Gulf War, because the United States had become such a killing machine, it seemed to me. I didn't want to participate in it any longer. Costa Rica had no army, so that's why I came to Costa Rica. When I turned 75 last November, I began to give serious thought to the continuation and perpetuity of the Julian David White Artist Colony. I began a search of universities in Costa Rica and elsewhere with whom we might become affiliated. Among several options was the United Nations-sponsored University for Peace. I liked its mission. Its mission was, or is, to provide humanity with an international institution of higher education for peace, with the aim of promoting among all human beings a spirit of understanding, tolerance, and peaceful coexistence, to stimulate cooperation among peoples, and to help lessen obstacles and threats to world peace and progress in keeping with the noble aspirations proclaimed in the Charter of the United Nations. I had supported the United Nations since its inception. These values were similar to my own. I also liked the University for Peace's location in Ciudad Colón, only a few miles from the colony. In December 2002, I talked with the advisor to the rector, Simon Stander. In January, I received a letter from him expressing the University for Peace's interest. Both the rector and the vice-rector paid a visit to the colony, followed by two meetings with their representatives, their attorney, the advisor to the rector, and the chief financial officer. A mutual decision was reached to explore an affiliation between the University for Peace and the Julian David White Artist Colony that would take effect upon my death or perhaps earlier. The University for Peace lawyer and my lawyer, who had set up the trust for the colony, would draw up the legalities. At this early stage of negotiations with the University for Peace, there was something troubling me. The university representatives insisted on combing over the financial records of the colony while stating theirs must remain confidential. It bothered me that the university would act so secretively and would lack the kind of transparency and accountability that most major NGOs and educational institutions possess. I had barely expressed this concern when the advisor to the rector called to set up a meeting with him and the university lawyer on February the 7th, 2003. He instructed me that it was imperative that I not bring anyone with me. Upon arrival, I was informed that the university lawyer had been to the registry where our trust was registered and had discovered that I had no control over my property. He said that my lawyer was in collusion with two of my friends who live on the farm to steal the farm from me, that they could do this at any time, that I lived on the property only at their discretion, and that now that I was making plans to connect the colony with the University for Peace, they were apt to act on their power. My life was very likely in jeopardy. People have been killed for less than this, the attorney said. Furthermore, according to him, I had no authority to negotiate with the University for Peace without first breaking the trust. In this Friday meeting, I was advised that to prevent the theft by my lawyer and my friends and regain control over my property, I should go to the university attorney's office on Monday morning and sign paperwork to dissolve the trust. Fearful both of for my life and of losing the colony, I met with them as they advised and signed the paperwork to dissolve the trust. Now I would need to wait 3 weeks for the dissolution to be legally registered. I was instructed that during this time I was not to speak to anyone about any of this. We were now operating the colony without any legal structures. All accounting, banking, and business related to the colony had been in the name of the trust that was now broken and needing to be reestablished. Even completing a simple transaction like paying a phone bill became problematic. I found myself in the throes of a very painful turmoil with my friends. My friends who by now were aware of the accusations being made against them. I began to ask follow-up questions of Stander, the advisor to the rector, who from the very beginning had been the main contact between the university and me. At times he indicated he was following the directions of the rector and the vice rector and was advising them of the problems and expense created for me by the breaking of the trust. At other times, he expressed that the rector and vice rector knew nothing about what was going on, that he rarely saw them except for passing in the hallway, a fleeting moment in the doorway, he described it. Because of these and many other contradictions, it gradually became hard to believe anything he said. Finally, to pin him down, I showed him, and we read together, the detailed records I had been keeping since my first contact with the University for Peace. He agreed that my records were accurate and said he himself had been surprised by the threats against my life that the lawyer had expressed. I asked him to please make a statement to that effect and sign it. He refused. He absolutely refused. During one of these conversations, the advisor to the rector said something that I found especially dumbfounding. The rector has gone to take out a loan on your property, he had said. I knew there was no legal basis for this course of action. The very idea even made me more suspicious of what may be going on at the University for Peace. It also troubled me that when I approached the attorney about problems created by breaking the trust, he brusquely answered, "Banking is your problem." During this time, I discovered that this attorney, who had represented himself as the lawyer for the university, was not the university's lawyer at all, but was in fact the personal lawyer of the rector. After consulting with other individuals, including attorneys, personal acquaintances, media representatives, employees, ex-employees, and volunteers, I have learned that the university has a long-standing reputation for questionable dealings regarding land and financial transactions, with indications that such improprieties are continuing to the present day. Most disturbing of all, I learned that the trust did not need to be broken. It did not give my friends the control that the attorney who had represented himself as the university attorney claimed it did. Nor did the trust need to be broken for me to make an agreement with the University for Peace. I now wondered if this attorney had ever been representing the university or only had been representing the rector all along. Why, when we were in the beginning of stage of negotiation, for me to bequeath the colony to the University for Peace, would they want to break the trust? Why would they have wanted my attorney and my two friends out of the picture? I have asked these questions of many people with various connections to the university. Answers have ranged from simple ineptitude on the part of the university hierarchy to there is a group of top-level insiders at the university who are using the name of the University for Peace to swindle property owners out of their property and, in your case, to set up a private enterprise on the side for themselves. I have concluded that I was falsely informed of problems with our trust and was urgently advised to break it to effectively eliminate any legal recourse for those surviving me who would be aware that the property was not being used as intended by the agreement bequeathing the colony to the university. There would be no one in the future to stop the university management from neglecting or even disbanding the colony. Whoever would have thought that the rector, vice rector, advisor to the rector, attorney and chief financial officer in the name of the United Nations Chartered University for Peace was set about with such cunning and deception to rob me not just of my property, which represented an accumulation of lifelong investments, but the memorial to my children, which represented so much more. Prior to my contact with the University for Peace, the colony was at a place of beginning to realize some very special and personal goals. Writing about my life and the lives of my children, starting a publishing company, and beginning a series of concerts and other events for badly needed fundraising. All of this has now been delayed just to reestablish the legal structures needed to operate. Though the advisor to the rector has been made aware of the thousands of dollars and many hours of valuable time the University for Peace has cost the Julian David White Artist Colony, no attempt at reimbursement has been made.
Well, Bill, that smacks of a den of thieves, I hate to say.
And also because I have always so supported the United Nations, I hate to see anybody doing anything illegal, crooked, doing anything that would bring a bad name to the United Nations.
Yes. What was the value of your property that you were attempting to donate?
It was in the neighborhood of $2.5 million.
So you came forward to the University for Peace attempting to donate a $2.5 million piece of property, and you feel that they attempted to just swindle you out of that property for their own personal goals, and probably the University for Peace wouldn't have gotten any of that either.
I think the lawyer for the University for Peace doesn't seem to even know anything about it, the real lawyer.
And so who was the rector that you were dealing with at that time?
Martin Lees.
And the vice rector?
A man named Van Haren.
A man named Van Haren. And the lawyer that you were dealing with?
Pinto is his last name.
And then it turns out that it doesn't appear that Pinto was actually representing the university.
No, he's the rector's personal lawyer.
So just to be clear, you went to the University for Peace, attempted to donate property. The rector brought his personal lawyer and used the personal lawyer to attempt to convince you to break your trust, your legal trust, and then donate the property into some surreptitious means.
That's what I believe. That's okay. What I'm pretty sure happened. They were trying to make it look like I was donating to the university, where in fact I was would be donating to the rector and the vice rector and a few people, insiders at the University for Peace, who have been setting up things on their own.
Now, you actually signed the paperwork to break the trust.
Yes.
And then signed the paperwork to donate the property.
No, I never got that far. I never got that far.
And was it difficult to get the trust back?
We're still working at it. We're still working. That was in February, and we're still working at it.
So that was February of 2003.
2003, and this is the last day of October 2003. We're still working at it. It's very complicated because it threw us into such turmoil with the breaking of the trust.
How long had you known your lawyer and two friends before these accusations were made against him by the University for Peace?
Well, the lawyer I had known only for maybe 3 years. And my two friends, one I've known for 10 years, and one I've known for 7 years.
How did they take that you were losing confidence in them?
Well, they were very upset, naturally, and it was such a difficult time, because I had, in my own thinking, in my own feelings about the university, kind of idealized the university as a wonderful place, and what an honor it would be to have the Julian David White Artist Colony given to them, and that they would continue to run it. So I had this kind of great ideal. So when Pinto, who represented himself as the lawyer for the University for Peace, came to me and said he had been to the registry and discovered that I had no control over my property, never occurred to me that he would be lying to me. Never occurred to me that there was anything surreptitious going on. Over the weekend, got together all the papers that he had asked me to get together for him and took them to his office on Monday morning. There he drew up a paper to abolish the trust. It was a very difficult time in my life because it made everything, turned everything upside down. It took me 6 weeks to realize that the university was not what I had thought it was. It took me 6 weeks to realize I had been duped. Naturally, I didn't want to believe that. I wanted to believe, because I have supported the United Nations since its inception, I wanted to believe that the university was a good thing and that the United Nations would not have endorsed it otherwise. Never occurred to me that it never occurred, just never occurred to me that a group of people would do such a thing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a violation that you weren't expecting.
Far from expecting. Right.
Right.
Never occurred to me.
Because you went there to donate a sizable chunk of property, and not only to donate the property, but to attempt to protect the property to keep the artist colony.
I wanted
together.
The artist colony. That was my major motive, was to have the artist colony to continue.
And may I ask your age?
In November, this month, I'll be 76.
76.
Mm-hmm. This is the 1st of October. November the 20th, I'll be 76.
And so as you get older, you think about how your property and possessions are
yes,
going to be dispersed?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Started when I turned 75, I began to think, my God, what am I going to do with this? And the colony is, I'm very proud of the colony. We've done a lot of good work. We have about 70 people a year, between 70 and 80 people a year come to the colony.
And what does the colony specialize in?
We support writers, painters, and composers who want to have some time away from washing dishes, to have free time to do their work, to do their art. Also, part of my motive, because I have loved Costa Rica so much, and the idea of living in a place without an army so much, that I wanted young artists, or artists of any age really, who really are the seers of the future. I wanted them to have the experience of living in a country without an army. I wanted them to have the experience of living for a while at least in this beautiful, peaceful Costa Rica, and taking back to wherever they come from the idea of you don't have to have an army. You don't have to have an army to protect yourself if you're not doing something that you feel needs to be protected, like the University for Peace.
Yes,
I mean,
so-called.
University for Peace is a prime example of they're doing corrupt things and therefore need to protect themselves. That's the reason their books are not open.
And did you try to bring this to any other media besides Radio for Peace?
I have to the local English language newspaper, the Tico Times. I talked to them about it once.
And did they run an article on this?
No.
Oh. Okay, no. So really, after
actually, I don't know how accurate it is, but I have been informed that the University for Peace threatened a lawsuit to Tico Times if they printed anything about it.
All right, so they were able to use their financial power to...
That's what I understand. I don't have any direct knowledge of that. I have been told that.
You say people said that when you were asking and getting ideas of exactly what happened in retrospect, you got everything from simple ineptitude to corruption to downright fraud.
Right, right. For instance, I went to a doctor one day. Doctor says, "How you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing okay, except I've got a big problem with the University for Peace." And his immediate reaction was, "Oh, that bunch of crooks." I mean, here in Coast, see, I never knew that. I never knew that the University of Peace had such a reputation for being a bunch of crooks. They've done a lot of land grab deals, I understand.
Do you know any brief synopsis of other land grab deals?
Well, I know that there's a place in nearby Santa Ana, someone donated some land to the university that was supposed to be used for a specific thing and was not supposed to be sold. It was only for whatever that person wanted it to be used for. And they apparently sold the property. There's a lawsuit about that now. I don't know for sure about any of this. I understand there are several lawsuits against the university. And, well, for instance, another example. My gardener, the man who takes care of some of the gardening on my farm is 17 acres. One day he was at the house, and I asked him, I said, "Cootie, did you ever have any experiences? Do you ever work for the University for Peace?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Matter of fact, I helped build a hotel down in Manuel Antonio for one of the guys who ran the University for Peace. And I was paid by the University for Peace to make this man's, to do this private work for this man. And when I went to retire from the University for Peace, the University for Peace claimed I never worked there and I never got any retirement."
That is not the first story like that I've heard, actually. And you know, there's an interesting thing on this also, because see, the rector, the upper echelon of the University for Peace, see, they're able to use the diplomatic immunity that's accorded to the University for Peace. So under normal circumstances, if you were attempting to defraud somebody out of their land, and I guess what you would say, basically the theft of their property, you would have civil actions that you could take, but there would also be criminal penalties that you would be facing. It's one of the reasons that people don't do these things.
Right.
But there is no criminal penalty because all this is taking place on the University for Peace grounds, and they've got diplomatic immunity from all criminal prosecution for anything that they've done.
Yes, like in Washington, D.C., an ambassador can get drunk and run over somebody and kill him, and he's immune.
And he's immune, that's right. And which puts him into a unique position of
being able to defraud anybody of anything.
Yes, but the trust that they're violating, not your legal trust, but the trust of the people that the United Nations has given the University for Peace, see, that's a separate violation that they're coming in with this surreptitious means and violating that agreement that the United Nations has extended the University for Peace.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
And so so now you're what are you going to do with your artist colony now?
Well, that's part of what's taking so long to reestablish it. We have to do something different from what we had with the trust before. I'm trying to establish something that cannot easily be broken, that will go on in perpetuity. My lawyer and I are working that out now.
Yeah. So, how do you deal with this mentally, you know, because you kind of came through attempting to do a good, honest, charitable deed for humanity, and then you're violated for that. How do you deal with that mentally?
It's it's very painful. It feels like my world has been turned upside down. It feels like, who can you trust? Who can you really trust? It's a feeling of losing, well, just losing another ideal that I had when I was, as I developed as I was growing up.
Yes.
It's not like losing my children. That was terrible. It was different. But it's similar to losing something very, very important to me.
Yes, there's almost an innocence lost that can't be regained.
Right. Exactly.
Well, thank you for the charitable act of attempting to donate all you've built in life to humanitarian purposes.
Well, thank you. thank you for saying that. You're the only first person to try to recognize that.
Do you have anything you'd like to close with?
Well, I would like to close by saying that peace has been a thing for me all my life. Although my father was in the First World War and the Second World War, he was very aware that violence breeds violence. It's one of my problems right now is that the University for Peace has done such a violence to me, and I want to somehow do something in a nonviolent way, not to bring down the University for Peace, but to help change it in a kind of way that it will live up to its own values, the values I read at the very beginning, that it promote among human beings a spirit of understanding, tolerance, and peaceful coexistence, to stimulate cooperation among peoples, and to help lessen obstacles and threats to world peace and progress in keeping with the noble aspiration proclaimed in the Charter of the United Nations. That's a great statement. And the University for Peace has gone against every one of these. They don't support any of that in their actions.
Thank you, Bill White.
You're welcome.
This is Scott Fratcher from Radio for Peace International, and you have been listening to an interview with Bill White, an apparent recipient of a fraud worked upon him by the rector and vice-rector Martin Lees and Van Haren of the University for Peace, attempting to defraud him of his property for their own personal uses, to take the donation that was meant for the University of Peace and keep it for themselves. This is the same so-called University for Peace that is attempting to silence the voice of Radio for Peace International. To find out more about the fight for its existence that Radio for Peace has, log on to our website, www.rfpi.org.